This episode is brought to you by Vitamin Water. So much of what the world is obsessed with starts out in New York City. It's a place full of style and character that has something for everyone. With a range of flavors to meet any kind of taste, it's no wonder Vitamin Water was born there. Colorful, flavorful, anything but boring. Vitamin Water injects a daily dose of vibrancy into a watered-down life. Grab a Vitamin Water today. Vitamin Water is a registered trademark of Glasso.
He's Rashad Jennings. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Amber and Ian on the Road. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. That's right. This is the debut episode of Amber and Ian on the Road as college football season. We're all set tomorrow for week zero. Rashad, there's three NFL preseason games, week three right now. You had a couple games yesterday, got week three started yesterday, final week of the preseason. You got three games tonight. And right now on my television here, because I'm based in South Florida, I'm a Dolphin fan, I got the Dolphin game on here. So it's the Dolphins at the Buccaneers. I'm looking at it right here in the Zaslow Mansion Network Studios. And the game's in Tampa. I got to tell you, Rashad, it's a pretty good crowd there in Tampa for preseason week number three, which, of course, is the final week now of the preseason. You got folks out there that are paying full price for, you know, to watch the backups and a lot of guys who are not going to be on the team when the season starts. I mean, God bless. These are very good fans at the game, Rashad.
Yeah, that's true commitment. That's true commitment at its finest right there. I don't know if I can do it, especially in that heat. The Tampa's heat is different.
Man, you're not kidding. So we'll get to some preseason football action coming up, but let's tell everybody what we got going on. So this is Amber and Ian on the Road. This is the debut episode. Amber will be back with us next Friday for this as we are taking the show on the road throughout the college football season. That includes Friday nights, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Amber and Ian on the Road with me. I'm Jonathan Zaslow, former NFL running back Rashad Jennings, and the great Amber Wilson. We will also be coming at you with college football tailgate. That is on Saturday mornings beginning tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. And we're not traveling this week because we're not going to Dublin, all right? Tomorrow the season starts in Dublin, Ireland. We're not going to Dublin. But beginning next week for week one, we are traveling every single week. So we're going to be able to give you the atmosphere tailgate-wise. We're going to give you a little bit about the school, the game that we're at, and certainly we're going to break down all the huge matchups every single week in what is going to be an historic college football season, which gets underway tomorrow. So we got a new programming here. We're very excited about it. We will begin to travel next week. And just as an example, give you a little bit of a taste of some of the schools, some of the venues that we're going to be at. Next week, week number one, Rashad, Amber, myself, we will be in Gainesville for Miami Hurricanes at Florida Gators. That's going to be awesome. Super pumped about that. Then the next week, we're going to be in Ann Arbor, Texas at Michigan. That's crazy. The next week after that, we're at Madison, Wisconsin, Alabama, Wisconsin. Then we're at UCLA at LSU. We're going to be in Baton Rouge. That right there is just the first 4 weeks. So I think the point, Rashad, is you give folks a taste of what's to come. Bottom line is we're at the best games every single week.
Absolutely. We're not going to miss a peep. And so because we're at the best college games across the country, we get a chance to, again, be a part of that atmosphere, get a sense of what the environment is going to be like, and also give some pointers of what it's like to be there on site and covering everybody. So I tell you, it's a lot of big college games to look forward to this season, and I'm so excited to be there on campus to witness them live.
Now, we have the new college football playoff format. And you know what? If you want to be part of the show, Amber and Ian on the Road, you can hop aboard 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If we're all excited about the college football playoff season, we might as well be excited together. So if you want to hop aboard, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you got questions about the new college football playoff, we can get into that. But another area of this college football season that we should visit here, Rashad, is the conference realignment. This is something that's been talked about for years, and finally it's happened where, yeah, you got schools on the West Coast, let's say, which is where you are, and they're playing in East Coast leagues. Like, there's going to be an incredible amount of travel that these student-athletes have never had to do before. For instance, Rashad, let's take a look at some of the new members for the ACC. I mean, Rashad, When you think of Atlantic Coast Conference, you obviously think of Cal, right? So California is now in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Cal, SMU, Stanford. When you think Stanford, you think Atlantic Coast Conference, right? So those are three teams out west that are moving all the way east. That's bizarre, no?
It doesn't. I'm from the South, right? So I tell people I'm Southern, and they instantly think, oh, you must be from Florida. It's like, I get you. You're thinking about location based upon Southern when it's actually a culture. So I get it. And when you think about where the Atlantic is, and I don't understand really per se why they call it the ACC. But, however, we understand it. We accept it. We move on. But, man, California, SMU,
weird.
And Stanford?
It's weird.
Hey, it's good. I'm telling you, but it is opening up. I mean, how many teams in the ACC now? It's in total, it's a lot.
Well, I'll tell you what's the funny thing. You know, like a month or month and a half ago, I'm messing around. I'm looking up some college football stuff, and I go click on the Big Ten. And, you know, I click on standings. You know, I see all the teams that are in the Big Ten now. And I'm like, Big Ten? There's like two dozen teams in this conference now. Big Ten? There's so many teams. So speaking of which, the Big Ten in Big Ten this year, moving over, is Oregon, USC, UCLA, Washington. I mean, look, Washington, Kalen DeBoer obviously left. Washington is a powerhouse school the last couple of years. We know they were in the national championship last year. You got UCLA, storied history. USC, of course. This is a very, very pressurized year for Lincoln Riley, USC. And Oregon, who comes into the Big Ten immediately as a contender, Rashad.
Straight out the bat, immediately as a contender. So the Big Ten, they're not just bringing in somebody to fill in some spots. They're bringing in some true contenders that are looking to come in and take the reins quickly.
The Big 12, let's take a look at some of the teams that they've added now. Because you got to remember the Pac-12, it's like essentially defunct. The Big 12, you got Arizona is now a member. Arizona State, Colorado, Deion Sanders, of course, and Utah. Utah comes into the Big 12 immediately as a big-time contender. And then you also have the SEC, Rashad. And this is, I mean, unless you're going to disagree, it feels like top to bottom, the most difficult conference once again. And now it just got a whole lot tougher where they add Oklahoma and they add Texas. Now, if this was a Texas team from, say, 4 or 5 years ago, that wouldn't be such a big deal. But this is a Texas team now, college football playoff last year. This is a big time. They're back to prominence, Texas, and now they're joining the SEC. So I got an interesting question I want to throw at you here. And, of course, again, I'll throw out the number here if you want to hop aboard on Amber and Ian on the road on ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Rashad, let's see if I can word this properly, all right? Texas comes into the SEC this year not just a contender to win the SEC, but they have national championship aspirations. So, is it a bigger accomplishment if Texas, in their first year in the SEC, because we always hear, right, how big and bad the SEC is, best conference, no one else can play this schedule, no one's at our level. Well, Texas is coming in from at a conference. Is it a bigger accomplishment for Texas to win the SEC championship in their first year? Would that be bigger than potential, I guess, embarrassment to the SEC to allow an outsider to come in and immediately win their conference championship? Did I explain that properly?
Yeah, I see what's going on there in that question. I see exactly what's going on. I think the admiration for the Texans to go win the national championship, that easier route would have been them staying in the Big 12. That's the easier route. However, if they go to the SEC and they win the conference, well, it puts to bed, or at least a huge question mark, doesn't put to bed. It just awakes people to ask the question, wait a second, is this SEC is really cut out
right
as advertised, because they got an outsider coming in and ran through them. So I would say it's more of an accomplishment if they run through the SEC and win if they win the national championship through the SEC. Oh man, you can forget about it.
Nick Saban, ESPN College Football Analyst. That's right. Get used to that. He is not Nick Saban, head football coach. He is Nick Saban, ESPN College Football Analyst. He was on Get Up, and he's going to tell you a little bit about the challenges that are facing Texas and Oklahoma as they enter the SEC.
Well, I think it makes everybody's, you know, road a little bit more difficult to hoe. But at the same time, you know, I think it's going to be different for Texas and Oklahoma. They're going to be playing in a conference now where they're going to have to play really, really well week in and week out. I think that was always the big thing about the SEC. One year we played 9 teams in the top 20. So you're always playing really good competition. So your team has to learn how to play with consistency and performance, not be up and down. Play really well one week and not so well the next week. So I think that's going to be the big transition for those two schools is they're going to have to play well every week.
To me, it's one of the biggest stories, if not the biggest story in the college football season this year, is the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma and how they're going to fare right off the bat, especially a team like Texas with national championship hopes. He's Rashad Jennings. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Ambernian on the road on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, look, college football week zero, it's upon us tomorrow, but we're inching closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. Our ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days takes a look at the Detroit Lions. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
This is Amber and Ian on the road on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance alongside Rashad Jennings, former NFL running back. I am Jonathan Zaslow, and while Amber and Ian on the road mostly focuses on the college football season, we do have NFL action. We got 3 NFL preseason Week 3 games tonight, but of course, we have the ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days, and we will focus here on the Detroit Lions. Now, Rashad, I got to tell you, I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong, all right? Sports talk shows love being right. They love it so much, and I love being right too, but I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong, and I was dead wrong about Dan Campbell, all right? We see Dan Campbell get up there a few years ago. We're talking about biting kneecaps and, you know, like we're getting back to doing Oklahoma drills, you know, at the professional level. I'm like, calm down, all right? Every team wants to be physical. Every team wants to be tough. I get it. And we look 3 years later, this team, they love playing for him. They have totally taken on the personality of their coach. And obviously watching, you know, Hard Knocks last year, you get to know the team a little bit. But, Rashad, I've become a Dan Campbell fan, man. Now, I'll take it down a notch with the rooting for him, a Dolphin fan. But I hope this Lions team does well this year. They're fun to watch.
Oh, no doubt. They're definitely fun to watch, man. And I'm a fan, too. But I'm telling you, he left me with the craziest taste in my mouth, man, from what he decided to not do in the playoffs with the Detroit Lions last year, and that's not called a timeout. I still to this day don't understand it. He single-handedly, on that particular decision,
goes for fourth down too.
He made them lose, literally. Yep. I've never seen nothing like it. So, but other than that, if we move that aside, boy, he got these team. He got the team playing fast, furious. His attitude, like you're saying, the defense, that gridiron. I'm telling you, he got Eminem out there wanting to be a part of the team now. Like it's fun to watch.
Now, the Lions, they snapped some pretty notable droughts last year, right? They won their first division title since 1993, which is nuts. It was 30 years in between division titles. They won their first playoff game since 91. That's over 30 years. And they appeared in their first conference championship game since that same year, 1991, over 30 years. And if I'm remembering correctly, they had a double-digit lead in the NFC Championship game. The Detroit Lions were so close to going to the Super Bowl. I mean, now I guess the question can be, Rashad, how does this Detroit Lions team, it's one thing to go into a season where, okay, we're a fun little upstart, let's prove everybody wrong. Now they're going into a season where there are legitimate expectations. How do they handle that?
Well, they're going to have to handle it face on. I mean, listen, they know everybody. It's a secret's out. The Detroit Lions are a contender. They're a really good football team, and you have to come to play them every single week. Their offense is absolutely potent. Head coach running the defense. They're in a division that I believe they can win. And so, you know, hats off to them. But to upkeep it every single week, I mean, listen, I tell everybody, it's super easy to get a team to want to play when there's money on the line. And they have their jobs on the line every single day. And I think he's going to do a good job of getting them contended. But I'm kind of waiting to see how the wide receiver room shakes up. They got a lot of receivers over there. They can't carry them all. So we'll see which one pans out to be the top three.
Tell you who else I'm happy for is Jared Goff over there, because it wasn't too long ago where Jared Goff, even though he took the Rams, because it's so easy to take a team to a Super Bowl. I mean, I get it. Sean McVay, you tailor the offense to your quarterback. It's an accomplishment if you're the quarterback and you take your team to the Super Bowl. He took the Rams to the Super Bowl. They couldn't wait to get rid of him. And then we look at the Stafford Goff trade now, and granted, the Rams, they win the Super Bowl, but it's the rare player-for-player trade that I think both teams are super happy with. The Rams got what they wanted out of it, which was a Super Bowl immediately, and the Lions have gotten what they want out of it, where they got a whole lot younger at the quarterback position, and they have a franchise guy, as evidenced by the contract that they rewarded him with.
That's a win. That's a win. I'm right behind you with Jared Goff. He's done a lot. But, you know, the thing that stands out to me with him the most is how he's been able to stay poised in these crucial times of pressured moments with him. I think he's an outstanding quarterback. I think he's the guy for the job. And I will not be surprised at all if the Lions are at the end of this season contending in the playoffs.
All right, so that's a good segue. That's a good job out of you, Rashad. He's Rashad Jennings. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. This is Amber and Ian on the road on ESPN Radio. And, of course, on Amber and Ian, when we're doing our ESPN Radio NFL Two-A-Days, we're focused on the Detroit Lions here, but we got to do best case, worst case scenario.
Best case.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Worst case.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
It was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Best case, worst case with Amber and Ian.
All right, that's how we do it here. Best case, worst case scenario, Detroit Lions. Rashad, I'll go first here. You'll then give me your best case scenario. Best case scenario for me for the Detroit Lions is they go to the Super Bowl. I think this team can win the NFC. Now, I don't think they're ready to quite win the Super Bowl. I think best case scenario is they win the NFC Championship. You, Rashad Jennings, best case scenario for Detroit is what?
Yeah, I'm right there behind you. The best case for them is them going to the championship. And I actually think they can win the Super Bowl this year. And so hoisting up the Lombardi Trophy is idealistic for this team. So 100%.
Okay, so your best case then is win the Super Bowl. My best case is win the NFC Championship. Your best case is win the Super Bowl. Worst case scenario for me for the Detroit Lions, I don't see a way that they don't win the division. So my worst case scenario is they win the division, lose in the first round of the playoffs. Now, I don't see that happening, but I think that's a really high floor, is division champion and lose in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, heck, I wish that was the Miami Dolphins floor. So I have best case scenario, get to the Super Bowl. Worst case scenario, division champion, but lose a home game in the first round. Rashad, worst-case scenario for the Lions would look like what?
Worst-case scenario, Jared Goff gets hurt. He gets hurt, I think the season's over. I don't think they make the playoffs. I think he doesn't get a lot of credit as much as he deserves for running it and being so efficient on the offensive side of the ball for the Lions. So, worst-case scenario, Jared Goff. Sorry, Detroit Lions, but if he gets hurt, pack it up.
I look at that NFC North division. I know everybody's on Green Bay's tip. I mean, I'd like to pump the brakes a little bit on the Packers. I mean, come on. Minnesota feels like a transition year. You know, obviously with McCarthy getting hurt, it's a bummer that he can't play this year. So you're stuck with Sam Darnold the whole year. I think Chicago's going to be a playoff team. I think they're going to sneak in. I think Caleb Williams is the real deal. But I really don't see a scenario, Rashad, where the Detroit Lions don't win the NFC North. So I think the Lion fan is in for a heck of a season. I mean, can you imagine living in a world, Rashad, where the Detroit Lions get to the Super Bowl? We were so close to seeing it last year.
Absolutely, man. It's here. If it's going to happen, I think this year may be the time that it can happen. Chicago on a rebuilding phase, but they do got some really good wide receivers and solid defense. Minnesota's trying to figure it out on the offensive side of the ball. Green Bay, though, they're tough. So it's going to be up in the air.
Everyone loves these Packers. So that right there is our NFL two-a-days here on ESPN Radio, the Detroit Lions. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian on the Road, Alabama. They're without Nick Saban. What is a fair expectation? That's next on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
It's basketball season, baby. When you're playing with BetMGM, you don't need to be 7 feet tall with a 7 foot wingspan to get into the action. Oh, you betting with the big boys now. I'm talking over points, under assists, and exact rebounds all day. Fade away jumper from the left wing hitting nothing but net type of vibe. This basketball season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Arizona called 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts 1-800-327-5050. Iowa 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico called 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
So how about this? With Jim Harbaugh off to the NFL and Kalen DeBoer now in at Alabama, it's the first time ever that the teams that finished 1-2 in the final AP poll did not come back to their schools the following season. New head coach Michigan, new head coach Alabama. This is Amber and Ian on the Road on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We're coming at you from our home bases for week zero because it wasn't in the budget, Rashad. They looked in the budget, ESPN Radio, like we do not have it in the budget to send Rashad and Amber Wilson and certainly not Jonathan Zaslow to Dublin, Ireland for Georgia Tech, Florida State. So we will begin our traveling next week when we will all commence in Gainesville for Florida and Miami. That's going to be really great. Rashad, have you ever been to Gainesville?
I've been to Gainesville one time only. That's when I was in there in Jacksonville. We took a trip because we had to go watch Tim Tebow play. That's when we made it happen.
Hell yeah. So that was when Tebow was still at school. And remember, there was the thought that the Jaguars should draft Tebow, right? Like that, it would have sold out. All season tickets would have been gone, waiting list for years, right?
Yeah, and true story. So before they put the pool in the stadium,
yeah,
one of the things that they did, I never forget, I was out on the football field, we're warming up, getting ready to take on, I think it was Arizona Cardinals at the time, and this helicopter flies right over top of the stadium, and behind it, dangling, was a sign, and the sign said it said draft Tim Tebow.
Yep.
I said, I'll be daggone. Yep.
It was such crazy. A big deal, the potential of the Jaguars drafting Tebow. All right, so you're going to be in Gainesville just the second time. I've only been back. I graduated in 2004. I've only been back twice and only once for a game. So I'm super excited for next weekend. And, of course, the great Amber Wilson will be back with us there for that as well. But Alabama, very, very odd that the head coach is no longer Nick Saban. Alabama comes into this year. They're ranked fifth in the preseason AP Top 25. They're back in the top 10 for the 16th consecutive season. That actually ties Florida State for the second longest streak since the first preseason poll in 1950. That's right. I know you were about to say it, Rashad. You knew it was 1950. I took the words right out of your mouth. Since 1950. So Nick Saban, the former Alabama head coach, now ESPN college football analyst, he was on Get Up. And obviously the SEC, teams like Alabama, they are welcoming in some outsiders like Texas, Oklahoma. Here's Nick Saban on some of the challenges the newcomers are going to face in the SEC.
Well, I think it makes everybody's, you know, road a little bit more difficult to hoe. But at the same time, I think it's going to be different for Texas and Oklahoma. They're going to be playing in a conference now where they're going to have to play really, really well week in and week out. I think that was always the big thing about the SEC. One year we played 9 teams in the top 20. So you're always playing really good competition. So your team has to learn how to play with consistency and performance, not be up and down. Play really well one week and not so well the next week. So I think that's going to be the big transition for those two schools, is they're going to have to play well every week.
Rashad, what stood out to you there from the former head coach, Nick Saban?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it on the surface, but my ear heard kind of a shot at the head coach of the Texans. And the reason why I say that is because he said, in quote, that they played top team. They, one year they played 9 top 20 teams in a season. He said now the Texas, they're going to have to learn, quote unquote, as in they didn't beforehand, how to learn how not to be up and down, but to play week in and week out, meaning that that wasn't what they were doing beforehand. Unless I don't understand English, that's what it's saying. And so I think I'm hearing a little bit of pushback towards, hey, welcome in, good luck, and you have to step your game up.
Well, that's that SEC bias where it's, hey, we're on a whole different level than the rest of the country. You're now going to play our kind of schedule. And don't forget Steve Sarkisian, head coach at Texas. He was under Nick Saban at Alabama. He was the offensive coordinator for a couple seasons not too long ago. Remember, Nick Saban's got a habit of doing this, right? I guess he's really good about doing this, where when guys like Steve Sarkisian need that second chance, Lane Kiffin went through this as well at Alabama, where he'll give you that second chance. You can come work under him. You're gonna do awesome, and then you're gonna get head coaching jobs. Which, of course, he immediately then got the job at Texas after just a couple years at Alabama. So, what you're saying there can make a little bit of sense, because there is a history between Saban and Sarkisian.
Makes sense. It definitely makes sense. And you know, when I hear people talk, I really try to hear between the lines, and I couldn't help but to hear that shot. And it makes even more sense the fact that obviously he's been under him, he knows him personally, and so to give him a little foreshadowing of, hey, listen, what you've been doing is good. However, coming over here, you ain't done it yet.
I'm telling you, I think all these SEC fans, all right, you know, they all say, SEC, love the SEC, love it so much. That part doesn't make sense to me. It's like, you know, I'm a Dolphin fan, and this comes to my mind because I'm watching the Dolphins preseason game here against the Bucks. They're down 10-0. Who cares? But, like, I'm a Dolphin fan, and that doesn't mean that if the Dolphins don't make the playoffs, that I root for whoever won the AFC East. I'm rooting for the Patriots to win because they're repping the AFC East. Nonsense. I would never root for another team in the AFC East. But the SEC fan, I feel like they root for if their school is not representing in the national championship. They want one of their schools to win the national championship. That'll never make sense to me, Rashad. I'd be rooting against my rivals. I don't care if they're in my league.
Yeah, I tell you what, when I was with the Giants, I wasn't cheering for the Eagles when we were not playing them.
So, of course not.
Or the Cowboys. I don't get how that works either. But there is a lot of pride in the SEC. Good for them, but just the reminder, you only can cheer for your team. You don't share the trophy.
I think those SEC fans, I think they're rooting for teams like Oklahoma and Texas to get there and to fall flat on their face in the first. Like, see, this is a different game right here. Now, listen to this, Rashad. So Nick Saban, again, not head coach, ESPN college football analyst. He was on the 6 p.m. Sports Center, and earlier he made comments about, you know, I think it was Georgia and Texas, that they're the top two teams, or at least they should be the top two favorite teams in the SEC. Well, Nick Saban, he told you there was a motivation behind him saying that.
You know, I want to put Alabama up there someplace. You know, I got kind of criticized today by some of my former players that I didn't pick them to be in the SEC championship game. But they need to understand, you know, that's counter rat poison. You know, I never wanted to get picked first. I always wanted to be the underdog. So, this was counter rat poison. I hope they understand that.
The reverse psychology. I got it. So right now it sounds like you still have specifically Texas versus Georgia in the SEC title game, right? That's the message you're sending, right?
That is. And the only question I have about Alabama's team is they lost so much in the secondary that that's going to be the real challenge for them from a technical standpoint, is can they get that fixed? Can they get a good enough play at corner? Have enough depth in the secondary to be able to sustain the season, because, you know, you give up too many big plays, that's not good for your team's chances of being successful.
So, Rashad, a little reverse jinx action there from Coach Saban, what he's calling the reverse rat poison. And if you're not familiar with that phrase, you remember Nick Saban, he would always chastise the media there at the Alabama press conferences, where he hates when they write good things about his team. He hates when they're writing about all the how well they're playing. That's known as rat poison, because the players, they read that, and then they start to think they don't have to work so hard, and that's poison. So Nick Saban showing you he still has the allegiance to Alabama. He's serving up the opposite, the reverse rat poison there, Rashad.
Yeah, if it was just rat poison, why would he choose teams that actually could be in the national championship? See, Nick think he's slick, right? Slick Nick, right? No, he's actually telling the truth of who he thinks is going to be in there, and use it as a cop-out mechanism to say, listen, Alabama, I'm still with you. I just can't outright say you guys. But let me throw on a team I actually think truly will win. In case they do, I could kind of play both sides.
Nick Saban with that reverse rat poison. Now, let me give you some odds via ESPN bet here, Rashad. Alabama to win the national championship, fifth best odds in college football. They're plus 1,400. So for the uninitiated at ESPN bet, that means you lay down 100, you would win $1,400 if Alabama wins the national championship. Their win total for the season is 9.5. If you're looking to wager on ESPN bet for them to make the college football playoffs, yes is minus 105. No is a little bit pricier at minus 125. They're plus 500 to win the SEC championship. That's third in the conference. And Jalen Milroe, who is a Heisman candidate, Jalen Milroe plus 1,400 to win the Heisman. That is the fifth best odds. All of those numbers are according to ESPN bet. Tune in for baseball action tomorrow as the Orioles host the Astros. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up next year on Amber and Ian on the Road, one of the three preseason NFL games that are going on right now are being played by the Atlanta Falcons. What are they doing with Michael Penix Jr.? That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/ESPNPod and use code ESPNPod.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
So it was super controversial when the Falcons selected Michael Penix Jr. 8th overall. That was after giving Kirk Cousins $180 million, 100 of which was guaranteed. And now the controversy continues. This is Amber and Ian on the road on ESPN Radio alongside former NFL running back Rashad Jennings. I'm Jonathan Zaslow. Amber Wilson will be back with us tomorrow morning when we debut ESPN Radio College Football Tailgate at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So, Rashad, it was controversial when the Falcons selected Michael Penix Jr. I loved the pick. I'm totally good with the pick. Kirk Cousins, he's old. You don't know how long he's going to be the starting quarterback. And, hey, there's nothing necessarily wrong. This used to happen all the time. A quarterback could sit for a year, even 2 years, and then he gets out there and plays. You potentially have your quarterback of the future. I'm good with it. But this is where I need your help, Rashad, as someone who was in the league for a while and knows you need to get reps, knows you need, if you need a little bit of preseason football action. Well, Raheem Morris, who's a young coach, getting another chance in Atlanta, he doesn't like playing the starters, like any of them, in the preseason. And that includes Michael Penix Jr., who did not play last week and is not playing tonight. For me, Rashad, if a rookie quarterback is being held out of the preseason, that feels like he's your starter, except we know that Kirk Cousins is the week one starter. So what is going on? What could possibly be the decision there in Atlanta? Doesn't the rookie, he needs reps, no?
Yeah, he definitely needs reps. I get the confusion. I try to break it down as a former professional athlete as much as I can for you. So we know premier position on the football field right now, and obviously it's the quarterback position. Kirk Cousins is a premier player. He's proven himself that he can play the game. He's coming off an injury. He's paid $100 million guaranteed, even if he's playing for 1 year. That's insane. So, you know, people like to give Russell Wilson a hard time. They paid him $38 million to go away. It's a potential they may be paying Kirk Cousins $70 million to go away next year. But it's a safety and insurance policy because Atlanta Falcons are really good. They got a lot of weapons. But if you can't deliver the pill to them, it's no point. And so they got Kirk Cousins to go out there and start to baby and teach Penix. Just like, just to remind people, don't forget that Alex Smith was the starter over top of Patrick Mahomes, and that was intentional. And it just so happens that Alex Smith at the time wasn't up for a pool of money like Kirk Cousins is. So what I see is an insurance policy. I think it's a good move, especially if they got the money to do it. And this is the year that they have that opportunity. Now, if he gets into next year and they're still rocking with those two, I don't know. It might have some question marks then. But Atlanta looks like they're pretty good now. As far as the preseason, why he's not getting reps, just keep in mind, if you're an Atlanta fan or if you're just watching football, if your first-round draft pick goes out and he gets hurt in the fourth preseason game for some odd random reason, throws it, hits it on top of a helmet of his own offensive line, breaks a finger, pinky, whatever it is, you will be furious to know that he's hurt. So this is why. It's just a quarter. He would only play a quarter anyway. What's a quarter for an entire season?
So here, Raheem Morris, he already said he does not want his top players on the field at all, pretty much during the preseason. Raheem Morris was actually on Up and Adams with Kay Adams, and listen to this quote, all right, because he's telling us that Michael Penix Jr., if he were playing last week, if he plays tonight, he'd be playing behind backup offensive linemen. Quote, you could prepare yourself to mitigate injury, and we've learned so much more in the new game of football, the new age of football. We have a different approach, and our approach works for us. This kid is going to develop, and he's done a great job of doing it already, and I'm fired up to see him keep maturing. So with that said, I guess you could see where maybe it makes sense, because if he doesn't want to play any starters in the preseason, then all right, he'd be out there behind backup offensive linemen. Like, is he still going to be able to get enough work, second team reps, I guess, in practices throughout the season?
Yeah, you can get as many reps as you like for an athlete out in practice, and it's a controlled environment, obviously. When you're out there and the live bullets are flying at you, you know, the red shirt's off, you have to take the hits. But you want to prepare your quarterback and every player as much as you can, but especially the quarterback because it's premier spot. You have to protect that position as much as you can. That's all they're trying to do.
Let's hear from Jeremy Fowler, ESPN senior national NFL writer. He was on NFL Live with an update on Kirk Cousins.
I'm told he's been efficient. I'm told that he is on track to recover from that Achilles. The only thing he hasn't done is taken a hit. He might not even do that until week one. But I'm told the impact on Drake London, Kyle Pitts, guys that have sort of underachieved because they haven't had the quarterback play.
No kidding.
Now they got it, I'm told that's been apparent on that practice field.
All right, so that was Jeremy Fowler on NFL Live. So it sounds like Cousins is going to be ready to go for week one, because, Rashad, the first thing I thought when Raheem Morris said last week that not only is Penix Jr. not going to play in game two, but he's also not going to play in game three, that is usually what happens with your starting quarterback. You don't want to risk the injury. Like, that sounded like Michael Penix Jr. is going to be the starter in week one. Maybe it's because Kirk Cousins is not ready, but it certainly sounds like Kirk Cousins is ready to go. And like you heard there, and you said as well, I think this Falcon team is going to run away with the NFC South. I think this team's got a I know this team's got a ton of talent, and you have a very competent quarterback now who's arriving in Kirk Cousins. I think this Falcon team, Rashad, is going to be really good.
They're definitely going to be tough to handle over there. And they got a chance to win that division outright. And again, look, Aaron Rodgers, I'm not comparing, but just know Aaron Rodgers is not playing the preseason either. Now people can say, oh, well, look at the hardwire. Look what he's been able to accomplish. I don't care. What has he accomplished in the last few years? You play four players. So at the end of the day, the game is football. It ain't going to change. You say hike, you get the ball to the best the best open player and let it go. So don't get too excited because he's not playing in the preseason, but get very excited that they're trying to save and conserve him for the season.
Now, granted, you know, it's not it's a leg injury that Cousins is returning from, but from your history when you were playing and you heard there where Kirk Cousins, he hasn't been hit yet, does he want to get hit his first game back? Do you want to get hit early your first game back so then you don't have to think about it anymore?
Yes, you do want to get hit because when you're injured as an athlete and you come back, we're probably one of the only professions where you get hurt doing something. You can't wait to go back and do the exact same thing. But you don't want to get hit. I mean, excuse me, you want your player to get hit ASAP. Why? Because, you know, nobody standing around a pool wants to get soaking wet but when you throw them in a pool, they have fun. And so it's the first hit, boom, okay, I can take it, I'm healthy, let's ride. But you can be nervous until you get hit.
I'll tell you, man, like, not that it's harder as a fan than for someone like yourself, because you're a player and you're the one who has to get hit, you're the one who has to not get hurt. But for a fan, it's so bad when you got a player who's coming back from an injury and you see him get hit. And those few seconds that go by while you're waiting for him to stand up and walk straight, and you're like, oh, thank God. Okay, he's okay. It is. I'm not saying it's like you guys. You're the player. But as fans, that situation is tough as well. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian on the Road, we're going to talk to Heather Dinich. We're going to get a preview of this season.